Alright, good morning everyone. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Dal, the Tzadi test, right? 99. We're a little bit behind for this morning, but not terribly worried. I'm usually not worried. But this morning I'm not worried. We'll make up our ground that we need to. I plan to, hopefully, in Yus Hashem, I'm going to get to the Mishnah on Tzadi Testament Beis, and good, that's where I'd like to get to. We're back on Tzadi Chesamad Aleph, and we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday we spent a lot of time trying to configure that Mizbeach. The Pasuk in Yecheskel gives us an indication that some of the Amos that were used in order to make the Mizbeach were not six Tefach Amos, but five Tefach Amos, and that coming with that pasuk in Yecheskel comes a number of issues and a number of problems. We went through it yesterday, and finally we came to some sort of compromise position where the yesod and the kronos, the foundation and the horns of the mizbeach, are not six tefach amas; they're five tefach amas, but the rest of the mizbeach are six tefach amas. That's basically the consensus we came to yesterday. And we talked about the six tefach amah being a benoni, right? It's a middle amah. So we know about the five tefach amah, we know about the six tefach amah, but is there something larger than the six tefach amah? And the answer is yes, there is. When you make a contract with the Beis HaMikdash and you are asked to make something of a linear measurement, so they gave you your special measuring stick, right? Not the six tefach amah, but something a little bit more than that. There were actually two measuring sticks that were larger than that. One by a chatzi atzpa and one by a full atzpa. And the reason why, the Gemara said yesterday, this is pretty much where we got to, is because when you build for the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't want to go exactly to the linear measurement that the Beis HaMikdash asks you to do, because you may be a little bit short, and it turns out that you got money from the Beis HaMikdash that was not represented, that you did not give full value for. And so that means now that you're holding money at the Beis HaMikdash, and you may be in violation of the Isser of Me'ilah.
So if you're hired to build a door,
right,
your door's not ever going to close because you want to make sure that you're not hiding the
Me'ilah. Something like that. I don't think that would result, but I do understand where that's coming from. And then the last thing that we talked about is that the name of the chamber where those measuring sticks were kept was called Shushan HaBira. Why? So there was a huge mural, picture of the city of Shushan, in this chamber. So the Gemara says that's a little strange, and the Gemara says no, it's not so strange. Number one, the Gemara says it helps us remember where we came from, meaning we came from Shushan HaBira. And number two, Yiras HaMachus, meaning there should be a healthy fear of the government, right? And during the Second Temple, although we had a Beis HaMikdash and we had it for four centuries, but we were still subject to the, at first were the Persians, right? They didn't last. Then came the Greeks, but we wanted Amos Machus, we wanted the fear of our government. And the Gemara gave other examples of where we see this fear of government. Even when presumably the fear shouldn't be deserving, right? When Moshe spoke to Paro, he spoke to him respectfully, even though it was Paro, he was a wicked man. But still, Moshe spoke to him respectfully. Eliyahu and Achav was another example the Gemara gave. Achav was wicked, all right, a brutal murderer. And still, right, Eliyahu had a certain amount of respect for him. Okay, Amos Amachos. That's what we saw yesterday.
Is it possible, Rabbi, from the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was notoriously corrupt,
right?
So Malchus would sort of provide some sort of
checks and balances. We're at the two dots. We're right in the middle of Tzadi Chesamad Aleph. We're on 98A. And we're right in the middle, and the pasuk says like this: Va'aleu l'trufa. The pasuk, we're back in Yecheskel, and its leaves will be trufa. We've seen this before. This comes up at the end of Sanhedrin. There's going to be a river flowing from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, and the it's a water source, and you can imagine how special this water source would be, considering the fact that its source is from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the pasuk in Yecheskel goes on to describe that. This water will then irrigate fields, which will grow trees. And alehu l'trufa, the leaves growing on these trees would be trufa. They're going to be some sort of remedy. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dima, Chadam Alahat Yopesh Lamala, so Vachadam Alahat Yopesh Lamata. So the Gemara says, it's going to be a remedy either for the upper mouth or the lower mouth. Upper mouth is the actual mouth, meaning if you're, so let's say you're an Elam, Rashi says, right, you're a mute, and you were to chew on this leaf, so it would heal you. Pelamata, the lower mouth, that's obviously a euphemism. That's a nice way of speaking. Rashi gives the example. Let's say a person is a woman is an akara, right? She's just simply not fertile, right? And she has not have the ability to have children. So this ale, this leaf, would be a true far. This would be a remedy. Okay. The Gemara then quotes Amorayim, Chizkia, and Bar Kapar, and they say the same thing, but they don't use as euphemistic language, right? They just say it straight out, Lahatir Pe Ilmim or Lahatir Pe Akaras. Tana Rabbanan, Ilo Nemar Velakachta Solas Vafisa Oso Shtemasre Chalos Vesamto Sam Shtemarachos. Okay, we're going to have a series of Limudim over here, which basically going to lead us to the following conclusion, right? We've been discussing now the Shulchan, we've been discussing the Shulchan at length. And we know the Shulchan is a table in which you put 12 loaves of bread. We also know that you have to arrange it in two columns, and we also know that you have to stack the columns 6 loaves high. And the Gemara is going to point out that you could have come up with other configurations and other conclusions, but the Torah is clear that this is the configuration. There's no other configuration. And the Gemara is going to basically just take us through the step-by-step process of what other possible configurations could I have come up with. And the psukim are very clear that that's just simply not acceptable. Okay? And we're going to go through this, and we're going to go through this rather quickly. Had the Torah not said the word 6, so I could have done 8 and 4. Okay, now if you don't like if you're not a fan of symmetry, that'll offend you. I'm sorry. If you are a fan of symmetry, so that'll offend you, right? 8 on 1 and 4 on the other, but you get to the number 12 and you do have 2 stacks, and okay, good. Lakach nemar sheish, so that's why the Torah has to say 6. Vilo nemar shtaim arachos, sheish amarachos velo nemar shtaim esrei. Had the Torah not said 12 loaves, I used to amar shalosh shel sheish sheish. So I would have said stacks. Well, stack and stacks. So I would have said, okay, make a stack of 6, make 2 stacks of another 2 6, and you'll get to a total of 18. Lekach nemar shtaim esrei. That's what the Torah had to say in the number 12, just to make sure that we knew it was only 2 stacks of 6, not 3 stacks of 6. V'ilu nemar shtaim esrei chalos ha-marachos v'lo nemar shtaim v'sheish. Had the Torah said the number 12, but had not given us the configuration of 2 times 6, so Yisomer Shlosha Shel Arba Arba. So I would have said maybe it should be 3 stacks of 4 or 4 stacks of 3, something of that nature. Lekach Nemar Shtaim B'Sheish. That's why I need 2 and 6. So the way to get to 12 is through the numbers 2 and 6. Hashalo Yomer Gimel Mikras Alalu Lo Lamadnu. So I need all these psukim to tell us that 2 stacks, 6 on each stack, total of 12. And the configuration of 2 stacks, each stack having 6, that is an ikuv. That is it's necessary, absolutely necessary. And if you do it in a configuration of 8 and 4, you're not yotzi, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Right? What obligation have you not fulfilled? Right? I guess the mitzvah of how to be masader. I guess. Right, unless the Gemara is saying it's stronger, maybe the Gemara is saying that the bread is puzzle. I'm not sure. Right, quite honestly, quite frankly, I'm not sure to what degree the Gemara means when the Gemara says that you're not Yosef, you have not fulfilled your obligation. What if you make 2 stacks of 7? Okay, weird. Yeah. Right? Right, you're adding. So Rabbi Omer, Rona Salyona ki ilo eina. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi will tell you, okay, you can just ignore the top 2. Right? Just look at it as if it's not there. So in other words, right, you basically have 2 stacks of 6 and something else on top of the stack. Right? It happens to be a loaf of bread, but we'll just ignore it. V'habina menasata al. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's going to be a problem because the spoonfuls of lavona have to be placed on the bread, and now you have this extra loaf on top of each stack, and right? And you can't, what are you going to, you're putting the spoons on that. So Amalei Rav Chista, Rav Aminu, Amalei Rav Aminu, Rav Chista, Rav Latam, Adama Abba Samuch. So we go back to a position that we've seen already a number of times, and that is, the word al does not necessarily mean on, al can mean next to. Titanya Rabbi Amar, Minasat al Amarecha Lavona Zakam, Abba Samuch, on the Marechas, you put Lavona, you put frankincense. So the Gemara says, on means next to. The Rebbe says, I'll give you a simple example where al has to mean next to, and it can't mean on, and that is the curtain of the Beis HaMikdash. Curtain of the Beis HaMikdash, which separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's, the Torah describes it is on the Aron. Now, you know on doesn't mean on over there. Can't be on the Aron. It's a curtain. It's a vertical curtain that separates Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. Al over there absolutely means next to. So Rebbe says, good. So I showed you a precedent where the word al means next to, it doesn't mean al. Good.
What about Tzadik, where it says for al of month in Menashe?
Right, that's another one also.
Yeah.
Right.
Next to, yeah.
You're correct. Why didn't the Gemara bring... How come the Gemara didn't... Yeah, bring that one.
It's just another discussion.
Also over here, it deals with actual Klei HaMikdash.
Right. Yeah.
Meaning our whole discussion is revolving Klei HaMikdash, so... Here, it's another indication in the world of Klei HaMikdash, where you see al doesn't mean on, it means next to. Okay, good. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol HaKelim Shebe Mikdash Shakon La'arko Shabayis Chutz Me'aron Shakon La'arach V'Shabayis. Now, right, furniture in the Beis HaMikdash, right, what do we got? Right, it's nicely furnished. It's got a nice menorah, it's got a shulchan, it's got a mizbeach, and it's got an aron.
Not too many chairs.
That's it. No chairs. Right? No, you're not allowed to sit. No sitting. No sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, no sitting in the Azara, in the temple courtyard.
Right? No, the king,
except for Beis David.
I mean, what was the chair by the way? Where did they keep it? Because there's no mention of it.
I don't know. Fair question, I don't know. Okay, so you're allowed, so that's your furnishings of the Beis HaMikdash, okay? And right, you have this in your house, right? Lavdil, you have this in your house where the discussion always is which way should we put the couch and which way should we put the table and you know right, it's you know, arranging of your furniture. So in the Beis HaMikdash, so according to our Mishnah, and the Gemara now quotes a Braisa, which is going to support this position as well, and we're going to see later on this morning, Rebbe supports this position as well. Everything runs parallel, meaning that the furniture, the length of the furniture follows the length of the house. Okay? The house, meaning we're talking now about the Beis HaMikdash, has a definitive length and a definitive width, meaning it's 20 amos from top to bottom. That's called the width. That's north-south. The length goes east to west. It's 60 amos all the way from the east or all the way in the west. That's the dimensions of the second temple. So there clearly is a length versus width. So whenever you have a furnishing, so everything is furnished east to west. Table runs east to west lengthwise. Menorah runs east to west lengthwise. Now Mizbeach HaZahav, that's tricky because it's a square. So okay, I
just don't put it on a bag.
You're right, no doubt, right. Okay, the Mizbeach is tricky, and the only exception is going to be the Aron. Okay, so again, this is all according to the Tosefta. The Aron, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, that's my kuf over there on the board behind me. That picture is for later on this morning. Okay, so for the Kodesh, the Aron is going to be put right width along the length. Okay, that's the only exception to the rule. And then the Braisa ends off by saying, that's how it's placed and that's how the poles are placed. What does that mean? Right? That's how the Aron's placed and that's how the poles are placed. So my kama achi kama kacha yamunach midvarav kacha yamunachen uvadav. This is how it was placed. I'm sorry. Kacha yamunach midvarav kacha yamunachen. Meaning, because we want the poles to run east-west, therefore the Aron has to be against the grain. Meaning, not east-west, but north-south. Meaning that with the Aron, there are going to be poles in the Aron. And here, let me give you a picture. This will help a lot. I'll put it right here. So the Aron right, has to be, in other words, we would have liked it if the Arun were east-west.
The long
would be along the east-west. We would like that, but we got the poles. And the poles need to be east-west.
And the poles are long,
and since the poles need to be east-west, so therefore, and the poles are put on the short side of the Arun, so therefore the Arun has to go north-south in terms of its length. Okay. Next part. Why do the poles have to go east-west? You may ask. Umi Nalan. That's Gemara's next question. Uva Dav Minalam. And how do I know that the poles themselves? So, Ditanya Vayachu Abadim Yachalo Yo Nogim Baparoches Tamalamar Vayera'u. So, I might have thought that the poles shouldn't have to touch the parochas. Meaning, remember, the Aron is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Attached to the Aron are the poles. The poles are not allowed to be moved from the Aron. The poles stay in the Aron.
The parochas, they touch the parochas even
in the first Beis HaMikdash. Yes. Even the first Beis HaMikdash. So, the Tamalama Vayiru Yachu Yumakrim Baparoches Vyosin. So in other words, what do you want? Do you want them to actually break through the Paroches? Tamalama Lo Yiru. No, the Pasuk says they're not to be seen. So are we all confused? Sure we are. We should be. One Pasuk says that the poles are going to be seen. The other one says the poles are not going to be seen. Right? These are Pesukim and Malachim, describing the first temple. So Lo Yiru. So Haketzad. So how do we resolve the confusion? Dochkin uvolt, and we're on the top of Tzadiches Amad Beis. Dochkin uvolt and baparoches. So in other words, they push on the paroches, right? They don't go all the way through, but they push on it. So now, if you're standing outside the paroches and you're looking, so what does it look like? The Gemara has an interesting imagery. The domim kemishnei dadei isha. Looks like the dadim of a woman. Shenemar tzor hamor dodi li ben shaddai. Quotes the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, discussing the relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, and Sror HaMor, right, the, one of the spices that you gave me, Dodi Li Bein Shaddai, right, and it's kept, the Sror HaMor, this fragrance is kept Bein Shaddai. So that's the imagery that we want when you're looking from the outside, it looks like Shaddaim of a woman. So, Minalan Debedavla put you to Aaron HaBiyatve. Now, the Gemara says, okay, but all that is interesting, but why can't we just do this? Meaning, why can't we just simply take the Aron, move it to the east-west length that we would have liked, and why don't we just put the poles along the long side? Like, why can't we do that? Fair question. The Gemara says, Da'aron Aviyasve, Dilma Larko Da'aron Aviyasve, so I'm Rav Yehuda, Trey Gabri, Ba'amta Upagalo, Mistagalahu. Look, the poles that carry the Aron. Now, once the Aron made it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, the times that you're going to carry it are never. Zero. But still, the poles are meant to, the whole purpose of having the poles is to carry the Aron. And the poles obviously mean that two people are going to carry the Aron. The Aron's dimensions were, right, 2.5 by 1.5. If I put the poles along the long side, so that means I'm going to have two men standing here in an area of 1.5 amma. An amma is 2 feet, so 1.5 amma is about 3 feet. Right? A little bit more than this. You can't have it. In other words, can't be. The Gemara Sukkah tells us that each person occupies an amma. We assume generally that the width of an adult male is an amma. Right? The Gemara Sukkah talks about that in terms of how big your sukkah has to be.
From shoulder.
Yeah, so in other words, I was interesting because I was thinking to myself that you could have 1.5 amma and each person would be standing on the outside of the pole and put the pole on his right.
Right.
I was thinking that as well. I don't know why the Gemara does not entertain that thought. I'm not sure why. But so therefore the Gemara says this is the only, so if you're assuming that each person is going to be standing inside, right, here's our person. So you need that 2.5 amma distance so that two people could be standing on the two sides, and there'd actually be a 0.5 amma space in between those two people.
So what, were they inside or outside?
Huh?
Which one are they?
It sounds from the Gemara's discussion, the Gemara doesn't make this point very clear, but it sounds like they stood on the inside when they were walking.
In terms of when the poles pushed in his prochet, when Kohen Gadol went in to burn the Ketoret,
right,
where was he standing?
Right. In other words, we know that he stood in front of the Aron.
Right.
So I guess either
he... Maybe in the pole. right? Are pushing against the
right, so there's no room for him to go there. Yeah. Either he pushed back the curtain.
Where was the opening?
I'm going to suggest maybe limbo. I'm not, again, it's a fair question. I'm not sure. Okay. Let's go on in the Gemara.
The passage where it's in Malach, where the man went to try to straighten out the army, which would be only punished. What actually happened? He left his holding of the of the rods, and he tried to straighten out the army.
Yeah, the story from Shoftim.
Yeah. So that's what would have happened.
Something along those. No, not Shoftim. Shmuel. Right, Shmuel. Right. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Rashi points out. Tosus points out over here. Right. We all knew this. The Aron, right in the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Aron took up no space.
Oh, wait a second. That's how he just walked in front of it, because it took up no space. Yeah. Even though it was by little.
Yeah, but no. But I don't know, because it still pushes against the curtain.
Yeah, it pushes, but you could walk through maybe.
Okay.
I mean, how can it not take up space?
I think right. I don't know. You could say that, but I just don't know. All right. Anyway, let's go on. The Gemara now asks the question, why do you need four people? Meaning, why don't we say this? Why don't we say that it's one person? Meaning, so again, the Gemara is just being a little bit insistent over here. Let's have one let's have the poles go along the long side. The distance between the two poles is 1.5 tefachim. Okay, good. So let's have one levi stand on one side and one levi stand on the other side. And the two of them will carry. Meaning you're assuming that there are four people that need to carry. So the Gemara says, well, you're assuming that because it's correct. Dichsiv, it's based on a pasuk. V'nasu ha-kehatim, trey, right? The pasuk says, and the kehatim will carry. Okay, last week's parsha. Right? 2 weeks ago now? Last week. So v'nasu ha-kehatim, and then no se ha-mikdash, carriers of the mikdash, nami trey. So it's 2 plus 2, so the Gemara says that's 4. Tana Rabbanan. All right, good. So far, we have now dealt with in terms of the furnishing of the Beis Hamikdash. So everything goes in line with the Beis Hamikdash, right? So the Beis Hamikdash itself has a definitive length and a definitive width. So all the furnishings on the Beis Hamikdash went along that line, right? Where length goes parallel with length, and width goes parallel with length. With width, except for the Aron, Aron is the exception. I told you that's the halacha based on our Mishnah. That is what we just learned in the Braisa. And we'll see more about that in a moment, because not everyone agrees to that.
The menorah was also his question.
Again, according to this approach. Correct. In our picture over there, he follows that approach.
We didn't know which two was the... We still don't know which two were the last two of the day. There were five and then two cleaning. Yeah. You were closest to
Prophet? Well, we'll get to that. Okay. Next. Okay, next. Shlomo built the first temple. Right? Good. That's correct. Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, and so now, right, so the furnishings are simple. Right? He built the Beis HaMikdash, so he put in it a Shulchan, a Menorah, Mizbeach HaZahav, and an Aron. Okay. Shlomo said, you know what? Let me add some furnishings. Furnishings seem to be a little bit sparse. I'm going to add a little bit. So what does he add? 10 more shulchanos and 10 more menorahs.
Yeah, right.
Okay. How is this not a violation of Baal Tosif? Meaning, who told him to do that? Who told him he could do that? Right? What was the purpose? Good. All good questions. I'm not sure. Meaning, to every one of those questions, I know, right, I should be the one with plenty of answers to all these questions, but I'm not sure. No, obviously.
It's the guys in Chicago have answers.
Yeah, what do they say? Yes.
It's something like, basically, I'll find it for you as you go on, but it's something that deals with the area of the
wind
or something like that.
What, there's no Baal Tosif on dimension?
Yeah.
Something along those lines?
So the dimensions of the main sanctuary, the corner of the Mishkan, says that the dimensions of the Mishkan in the desert were 10 amos by 30 by 10. Okay? The dimensions of in the base of Midrash was 20 by 60 by 30, which is 12 times the size.
Ah.
Therefore, he was able to add up to 12 times the amount.
Okay. But, right. I hear that, but there's a difference between adding a linear distance and actually adding another furnishing.
Well, with regards to the menorah, figuring, you know, your light source.
Okay. All right. The basically, what he's suggesting over there, which, you know, you got to think about, is that we're talking about expansion. So adding another menorah falls under the category of expansion. And we know that expansion is acceptable because the base of Mikdash is larger than the Mishkan. Like, in terms of linear measurement, it's larger. So adding another menorah falls under that category of it's just expansion. Okay.
And the Bayis Sheni we didn't have.
Bayis Sheni, I don't know. This is Shlomo. This is all Shlomo's doing. Okay, so we are going to spend now a good amount of time discussing really a simple issue, and that is where did they all go? Which is, as you'll notice over there, I have a schematic of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to deal with that now for the next little bit. Where did everything go? So where are we? We are on Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. And we're about to quote a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Of course. Vayasas ha-menorah zazava eser kemishpah v'yitem b'heichal chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol. Okay? Five to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu Shochan, five to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu Shochan. Now, v'im tamar chamisha miyamin ha-pesach chamisha mismol ha-pesach im kemetzina menorah b'tzafa. Now, for the next little bit of Gemara, the Gemara is going to assume that there is Moshe Shochan. Here, let's do it like this.
Moshe Shulchan is the...
There's Moshe Shulchan, right? That's the blue. And then there's Shlomo Shulchan. Now, five to the right and five to the left. So the Gemara is... I know that. I wrote four. I know I have four over there. Okay. This is all going to get erased in just a matter of seconds. So the Gemara says, well, you can't do it this way because we know Shulchan's got to be in the north. Right, and this line over here is the equator, separating the north from the south. So you know that the Shulchan can't go in the north, right? You know that. So this can't be the configuration where Moshe Shulchan is over here and, you know, five are to the right and five are to the left. Okay, so no, that's obviously not going to work. Says the Gemara, so let's reject that out of hand. So, Vayasas Menorah Zav Kemishpat. I'm sorry. The Imtar Mechamisha Miyamina Pesach Chamisha Mitzvah Pesach Im Kem Asina Menorah B'Tzafon. By the way, I'm sorry. We're focusing on the menorah over here. Okay, it's going to be the same discussion by Shulchan. Okay, I apologize. We started with the Gemara starts off with the discussion of menorah. Vatara Amar Vesa Menorah Nochah Chashulchan. So the Gemara says, so it's got to be that Moshe was in the middle, five to the right and five to the left. Now, where was all this placed? So one brisa says halfway in, and another brisa says a third of the way in. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of your east-west, one brisa says it is past the midway point, and one brisa says, well, it's a third of it. The Gemara says that's not a contradiction. Because if you say the midway point, we're just simply not regarding the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner sanctuary. We're just looking over here at Kodesh. And of Kodesh, it's 40 amos from end to end. So the midway point is right over here. If you want to say it's a third, so the Gemara says that's also fine. Because we're going to look at the whole structure, 60 amos. A third of 60 is 20, the middle third over here. Good. Okay, so here's what we know. Basically now, what we're going to have to configure is that Shulchan is up in the north, Menorah is down in the south. We also know that it's got to be past the midway point. So everything, all of the Shulchan, Moshe Shulchan plus 10 of Shlomo's has got to fit in here. Same story with the Menorah over here. And the Gemara now will spend a good amount of time trying to figure out configuration. Tanu Rabbanan. There we go. Mizrach Umarav Hayumunachem Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says east-west. Everything goes in alignment with east-west. this position of Rebbe is the position we had in our Mishnah, the position we had on the Braisa starting from the previous page, which we started this morning with. Good. That is Shitas Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Amir, Tzafan Vidaron, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon argues, and he says, no, the length follows a north-south alignment. My time of the Rebbe government in menorah. So Rebbe says, follow the menorah. Ma menorah Mizrach Umarav, Av Haninami Mizrach Umarav. Well, the menorah is east-west, so the Shocham is also going to be east-west. The Gemara says, only begs the next question, a menorah gufa minala miyachziv. Nema Aravi, because there is a western lamp of the menorah. Ya'arocho sa'aron lifnei Hashem. And the western lamp is lifnei Hashem. Now we know that the further westbound you go, the closer you are to the Shechina. Right? It's clear, meaning that's east, this is west. I drew the picture according to our general understanding of east and west. And the more west you go, this is Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if the menorah is over here, and let's assume that it goes east-west, so it's a good assumption because here's the westernmost one, which is Lifnei Hashem, the one that's closer to Hashem. If the menorah went on a north-south plane, so there's no Nair that's closer to Marav, that's closer to the west. Right, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Isakadacha, third wine line. Isakadacha, Tzafan Vidaron, Kulanam, Lifnei Hashem, Ninu. It's all Lifnei Hashem. That is all Rebbe. So the menorah goes east west, Shulchan also falls east west. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, my time, Agamar, me Aaron. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, look, we all are in agreement the Aaron goes north south. If the Aaron goes north south, so the other furnishings have to go north south as well. Ma Aaron Safan Vidaran, Afani Nami Safan Vidaran. Rebbe Nami Ligmar Me Aaron. So the Gemara says, why doesn't Rebbe make such a limud? Dana Chutzmi Chutzvein Dana Chutzmi Bifnim. So Rebbe says, no, because that's Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a different room. You can't learn from what goes on to the Kodesh HaKadoshim to what should go on in the Kodesh. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Ligmar Me Menorah. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, why doesn't he learn out from menorah? Amlecha, menorah gufa tzafan v'daronava. Because Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says that the menorah also goes north-south. So, hava mancha. Elahaksiv yarocho sa'arono v'nav. So the Gemara says, so what does he do about that pasuk describing the western lamp? So the Gemara says, demitzadid lehu adzdude. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says that the menorah went along a north-south configuration. And there still is a western lamp. How does that happen? Because the wicks themselves actually had a direction. All the outer wicks, right? Wicks 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, all faced the Ner Emsa'i, according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. And that Ner Emsa'i wick actually inclined towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. All the other wicks face the middle. And the Gemara over here quickly takes us to the Masechta Megillah, where what do we learn from over here? Middle is the best, right? The Gemara Megillah says that in order to read the Sefer Torah on Monday and Thursday and Shabbos Mincha, you need to read 10 Pesukim. And you also need 3 aliyahs. Okay? Simple math will tell you. Somebody's going to get that extra pasuk. So what should be the correct configuration? Should it be 4-3-3? Should it be 3-3-4? So Rabbi Nassan says 3-4-3. Okay? Emsa'i Meshubach. Middle is the best. Okay. Back to the furnishing discussion. Bishlam Aman Dar Mim Ezrach Marav Hainu Davi Yasvi Asar Be'esrim. The Gemara says, look, this north-south configuration, the Gemara says, I have a lot of issues with it. Okay? Number one. So, Yud Bechav Heche Havayasve. So, let's go over issue number one. You're not fitting 10 Shulchanos within 20 Amos. Okay? The Gemara right now is assuming that the tables are... Right, tables are north-south, and the Gemara right now is assuming the tables are all one row. Okay, I'm not going to draw the scale right now, okay? But if I do this, 2.5, because the length of each table is 2. Sorry, 2, 2, 2, 2, and I multiply that by 10, 20. So you're going to get 20. So, yeah, it's true. I could fit 10 tables lengthwise from the north to the south. But the Gemara says, first of all, the Gemara's going to say, look, I have so many issues. Number one, let's go through all the issues the Gemara's going to point out with that. Number one, you can't even really fit the 10 along the 20 north-south. Meaning, as Rashi explains, right, even that's not realistic. There's got to be some space between the tables. Meaning, right, you could crunch the tables one against the other, but that's really not going to work out. That's number one. Number two, su kohanim hecha v'yayli. And number two, how the kohanim getting through? And number three, v'su matzino hei shochan v'sbedarm v'su shochan namosha. Issue number three, five tables in the south. That's a no-no. And issue number four, v'su shochan namosha hecha manachlei. And now because there's Shlomo's 10 tables, right, no room for Moshe's table, which is the main shulchan, obviously. So the Gemara says, okay, before I answer all these questions, and the Gemara is going to answer all of them, and the Gemara is going to make just one adjustment to answer all four of these questions. But before we do that, even your east-west position, which is Rebbe's position, which is our position generally, even that's not so exciting. Look, you're going to put you're going to lay out the 10 tables of Shlomo. Where's Moshe's table going to fit? Because remember, we're going to go 10 tables east to west. That's going to go from here to here.
Yeah.
But remember, right? That's it. Nothing on the eastern half of Kodesh. Shulchan's got to be in the western half of Kodesh. It's got to be in this quadrant over here. So if I'm still going east to west, and I lay out 10 tables, 10 tables will go from here to here. But then I got no room for Moshe's table, and that can't be. So the Gemara answers, and intuitively you all know the answer. And even if intuitively you don't know the answer, you got pictures.
Yeah.
That helps you see ahead to what the Gemara is going to say. So, Hechav Amanachlu, Ela, Misfars Chadara Hava, Trey Dare Ninhu. Two rows. That's all.
And so, two rows.
And so you'll see there are pictures in Rashi, right? Pictures in Rashi that are actually described. It's believe it or not, it's not two rows. It's really three rows. I mean, right? Moshe says in Bishlam Laman Dar Mitzvah from Vidar and Shapir Laman Dar Mitzvah Chumarav Michti Shochan Kame Hava Mashach Menakoso Shtei Amos Umechta VeAmidi Day VeShtei Amos Umechta DeBeni Beni VeAma VeShtei Amos Umechta DeBeni Beni VeAma Diday Ishtachis DeKa'achos Shochan Paga Damte Bedaron. So the Gemara says, I've still got issues. Okay? Now, Shulchan is a table. Now, as we'll learn, table has a function, which is, I put bread on the table, I take bread off the table. I need working space. The Gemara is going to tell us that the assumption is I need 2.5 amas of working space. So even if I'm going to go into my east-west position, right? So we're going to go 2.5 amas over here, plus an amma of the table, right? These are, and you know there are five of them. Okay. Then I'm going to give myself another 2.5 ammas of space. We're going to have Moshe's table, another 2.5 ammas of space, and then we're going to have another row of Shlomo's tables. Okay. My picture isn't that good, because if you're counting up all this, you realize that this over here is below the equator. 2.5, 2.5, 2.5, 3 times over, that is
7.5.
Plus
9.5.
1, 2, 3, 9.5. 10.5.
3. How do you get 3? Oh, I
see. Right? 1, 2, 3, so that's 10.5. So the truth of the matter is that if I drew more to scale, these tables over here would be halfway over the equator. The Gemara says, that's no good. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara finally says, again, you're working with a false assumption. It's going to be Shulchanos over here, Shulchanos over here. Moshe's was over here. You have your working space. You have your working space. Everything is north of the equator. Okay. The Gemara says this is how the first Beis HaMikdash was configured. Okay. You know what it's like, says the Gemara? It's like a student sitting in front of the Rebbe. Okay. Gemara tells us how to configure the tables when we're having shiur.
Of course, in the picture of the Gemara, the table is in the wrong direction there. Yeah. Moshe's table. It should be going the same direction as
you. Agreed. Agreed.
Maybe the printer was made.
Okay, could be. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. We're about five lines down from the top of the Amud. Okay. Next basic issue. Basic issue. Shlomo added 10 tables. Okay. Expansion. Hider.
Did they light all 10 menorahs?
Yeah, so that's Gemara's question now. Which ones did they use? Meaning, was Shlomo's Shulchan ornamental, right? Therefore, decorative purposes, or was it functional? Okay, simple question. Shanam, and the answer is Machlokas. So according to the Tanakhama, no, only Moshe's table was used. And then the same thing regarding the menorah. That's the menorah says Shlomo v'loyim alik and alav shalom Moshe shenemar. Menorah says Ahav and Erasel la'va'er ba'erev la'bar ba'erev. Only Moshe's menorah was lit. Rebbe Lazar.
The menorahs are in the same pattern as the
shulchan. I assume. Rebbe Lazar ben Shemur Omer al kulam ayim esajin shenemar. Esa shulchanos v'aleim lachem upanim. Then the Gemara brings in the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Shammua, and he says they were all used. All the Shulchanos were used, all the menorahs were used. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Amar lo ayim esajin el al shamosha elamani mekayim es ha-shulchanos asher aleim lechem apanim zav elu shlosha shulchanos. So the Gemara brings in the opinion of Rav Yehuda. He agrees with the Tanakhama. And then he goes on to explain. The Torah says the word shulchanos. Yeah, there were more. Yes. There were more than one shulchan that was used. But that's not a reference to Moshe's shulchan. That's regarding to the shulchanos that were in the ulam, in the antechamber. Tomorrow, we will come back. We will discuss these shulchanos in the antechamber. Shayu b'mikdash. Shnaim shayu b'ulam mibifnim. Lepesach habayis echa shokesav echa shol zahav. As you walk into the heichal, so before there was a huge foyer. Huge. We'll describe it more in detail tomorrow. There were two tables over there, a silver table and a gold table. Also, kesem nosim lechem apanim bechnisa so. When the lechem apanim was brought in weekly into the Beis HaMikdash, it first stopped in the ulam and was placed on the silver table. The al shel zav b'yisiyaso. And as it exited at the end of the week, next Shabbos, it would then be placed on the gold table. Right? Why start with silver and end with gold? Malam b'kodesh v'lo maridim. Echa shel zav b'fnim sh'alav lechem apanim tamid. Right? And it has to end up on gold because it spent a whole week on gold, even though a couple days ago we described it as being wood, just gold plated, but right now we're going to call it gold. So it spent a whole week on gold, so there's no way that it could spend a week on the shulchan, which is gold, and then stop in the ulam on the way out and go back to silver. Malam v'kodesh v'ein moridin. And now the Gemara over here, very basic Gemara. Gemara wants to know, this principle that we talk about a lot, Malam Bekosh Vein Moridim, we talked about it in terms of Ner Chanukah, and we talk about it in other areas of Halacha as well. Where do we know this from? So, Amar Rebbe Damar Krav Yakem Moshe Es HaMishkan V'yitain Es Adana V'yisim Es Krashav V'yitain Es Brichav V'yakem Es Amudav. So when Moshe sets up the Mishkan, the Torah uses the words V'yakem, and he set it up. So that is a source of Ein Moridin. Rashi gives other explanations of how this pasuk indicates Ein Moridin. Uminalin, just go on, we'll go on for now. Uminalin de ma'alin, and how do I know I go up in Kedusha? I'm Rabbi Yachab, Rabbi Yaakov, the Amakra, Eth Machtos, Achatem, Aela, Benafshosam, Vasur Sam, Rikue, Pachim, Sipula, Mizbeach. Korach had a whole bunch of followers, right? They all brought in a shovel, a golden shovel, to see whose would be accepted. Theirs weren't. They also all died. Okay. And what happened to the golden shovels? It was used, see, Pui la Mizbech. It was used as planning for the Mizbech. Ki krivum lefnei Hashem, veikdash v'yu la'os lefnei Yisrael b'tchila, tashmishim Mizbech, meaning originally they were just simply tashmishim Mizbech, v'achshav gufo shel Mizbech, and then they become part of the Mizbech. So that is Malim B'Kodesh. So we have a source of Ein Moridin, and we have a source of Malim B'Kodesh. Asher Shibarta. Okay, v'samtem... Asher Shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. Okay, a little bit of Agadata, and we get to the next Mishnah, and that's where we will stop this morning. Okay, the Pasuk says, Asher Shibarta, and you take the broken luchos and you place them in the aron. What was in the aron? Answer is, luchos and broken luchos. Second and first. Tamachachem, who forgets his learning, right? Unfortunately, old age can do that. So, ain no agim bo minag bizayon. You don't treat him disparagingly, not degrading, meaning like the shiver aluchos. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish pamim shebitula shel Torah zehu yisoda. Sometimes negating Torah is the foundation for Torah. Wow. Ironic, of course, but sometimes it is. What does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi gives the example. Look at the top Rashi. On Tzadi Tesfam at Beis, Rashi writes, Kigon, Shemevato Torah lo tzas ameis, alach nasas kala. Meaning, really, we should be engaged in Torah study all the time. Okay? And then what happens? You take a break to do mitzvahs. So, but you're not learning Torah. So that, Rashi says, is an example of Bitulo shel Torah, you're being mevatel Torah, right? You're quote unquote, you're wasting your time. You're not learning Torah. No, that's Yisoda. That's the foundation of Torah, right? I guess this goes in line with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that limud mevi lidei maisa. That the whole purpose of learning Torah is so that we do the mitzvos. Asher Shibarta, another bit of Agadata that we're all familiar with this one. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Lamoshe Yasher Koch Shibarta. Right, great job. Right. Coming down from Har Sinai, breaking the Torah, breaking the Luchos, I should say. Right, Yishakarach. Right, it's Asher Shibarta. It's a play on the word Asher. Asher could also come from the word Yasher. Right, like whenever we say Yishakarach, Yishakarach. The Amar Reish Lakish Tamachacham Shesarach. Let's say you have a Tamachacham who goes astray. Okay, it happens. Aim Evazin Oso Befar Hesia. You shouldn't publicly embarrass him. Shenemar. V'chashalta ayam v'chishal gam navi imcha laila kisahu kalaila. Cover him like the night. Amri shlakish a little bit more. Kol ha'mishakech davar echa mitamado over belav. Okay, after this gemara, you can go and forget it. It's a tough gemara. If you forget your learning, says the gemara, you violate a negative prohibition in the Torah. Shenema yishamelecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'od pentishkaches advarim. Not allowed to forget Torah. Okay, everything we learn, we have to remember. That's tough. Uche the Rabbi Alvin, now the Amar Rabbi Alain, the Gemara says, how do I know it's a lab? Because Amar Rabbi Alvin, Amar Rabbi Alain, Kol Makom Shenemar Yishamer Pen Va'al, Eino Ela Lo Sasei. We know that when the Torah wants to tell us a prohibition, a negative prohibition, usually uses the word lo, but Pen, Al, Hishamer, all good substitutes for the words lo. Ravina Amar Yishamer Pen Shnei Lavin. And Ravina says, no, they're two Lavin. If you forget something you learned, you violate two Lavin the Torah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar B'Shlosha Lavin. And he says, no, they're three Lavin. Shenemar Yishamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Meod Pen Tishkaches Advarim. Now, Yachol Afil Machma So, but what if it wasn't your fault? Right? Well, you get old, right? My mind doesn't work as well as it used to.
Just regular
forgetting. Onus. We're talking about somebody who on purpose tries to forget. Rabbi Yusai, Rabbi Yana, Amar Yachol Afilu Takfa Alav Mishnah. So, right? What if you forget because you learn? Meaning that, you know, only so much can occupy the brain. Yeah. So, right, you're learning new material, but, yeah. Right, this is what in psychology they call retroactive forgetting. Okay, it's just a fancy term. Don't be impressed. So, talk for love, Mishnah. So, tamalom rak. So, Rav Yochanan and Rav Lazar, Amitabai, Torah nitna barabem, and neshama notza barabayim. Torah took 40 days for Moshe to get the Torah. Formation of a vlad is 40 days, right? We generally say that in terms of the world of conception, so for the first 40 days, it's just maya ba'alma, which is just water. That's the Gemara's terminology. And after that, we start viewing it as a developing fetus. So, kol mishama Torah, so nishmaso mishtameres. V'choshena mishtameres, the Torah ain nishmaso mishtameres. You protect Torah, you protect your neshama. You don't protect the Torah, your neshama is not protected. Right, and
that means you can't forget because you're learning other things. Right. You have to remember everything.
You got to remember everything. Tana debe Rav Yishmael, mashal adam shemasa tzipor dror la'abdo. It's like giving a tzipor dror. The neshama is compared to a free bird. Amar kemeduma atash yimata ma'avdash ani nota mimcha iser b'dameha. Look, you lose it, and I'm going to take away iser b'dameha, its value. So nishmaskani nota mimcha, which happens to be your neshama, meaning you may not know the value of it, but it obviously is the value of your neshama. Okay, we'll stop over here. Obviously, tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah. Well, tomorrow we continue with a discussion of the lechem upon him, and we're going to talk about the two shulchanos that we spoke about very briefly. Okay.